normally on an afternoon like this, I would have been inclined to say, what a beautiful summer afternoon. In fact, the first afternoon of this summer in Delhi, when we see the building of a little storm, some little rain, I can feel the odd drop on my skin, and also a cool breeze. Again, you can see the birds, you can hear the birds chirping in the background. Soon enough, there'll be the quail also, which has just gone quiet for a moment. We keep telling it to shut up, but it doesn't listen to us. So I would have called it, what a beautiful summer afternoon, early summer afternoon, but I'm not doing that. Why? Because given the situation our country is in right now, and given the situation in which all of us are, in fact, the weather we have right now, the overcast clouds, overcast skies, and a storm building up, it tells you, it actually gives you an idea of crisis. And this crisis is the return of coronavirus. Unfortunately, as we keep saying, we declared victory too soon. And when we declared victory and we were celebrating, the virus was waiting, and once it figured that we were truly complacent, it came back, and now it's reaping a deadly harvest. Already, we have reached the peak twice over, the peak that we reached the last time in the number of cases in September of last year of about 1 lakh. Now we've crossed 2 lakhs and it's going higher. There is no signs of tapering off. Now this has led to many complications. First of all, it has led to complications in terms of, we look at what went wrong, what did we get wrong. So you have a series of stories coming up on the print.in. In fact, the first one by Avantika Ghosh has come up today. So please check out that story. I'm sharing it with you, and check out the rest of our series. But then there are specific aspects of it. At the same time, this has now become such a big crisis again, that just as it had happened at some point last year, say around May, June, up to September last year, that a lot of our conversations on Cut the Clutter were about coronavirus. In fact, very often we even called it Cut the Corona Clutter. We are getting close to that stage again. In fact, if anything, now, because the system is under stress, something that we didn't see earlier to this extent is now coming up, which is shortages. Shortages, clamor for facilities, clamor for testing. There are queues for testing. There are queues at hospitals for admission. There is a shortage of hospital beds. There is a clamor for plasma, for remdesivir, that is the drug that is supposed to work, and all kinds of things. In fact, we are also seeing these macabre and sad stories coming out of our state capitals and district towns, where people now say that they have to wait hours in queues, even to get bodies from hospitals or to perform the last rites. Now, we should not be spreading any panic, but we also can't hide from truth. This is the truth right now. This system was not designed to take this much pressure. So today, I am focusing both the things that I do on Fridays, that is Cut the Clutter, as well as national interest, on the coronavirus situation, although on very different aspects of it. And if there is some thunder, until it begins to really rain, I think we'll carry on, and I'll try to keep it short. Now, one thing that you hear about is remdesivir. Now, you see a lot of clutter on social media, a lot of people saying, I want 2 vials of remdesivir. Can I get some vials of remdesivir? Is remdesivir available? There seems to be a run on remdesivir. Remdesivir, as we know, is an experimental drug which was found to be useful in America, so much so that very early on, when Donald Trump was really desperate to show that something was working against coronavirus, he actually held a meeting, live meeting, with Dr. Anthony Fauci to say that the early results of remdesivir are promising, and so he's giving it emergency use authorization. Since then, because it got FDA's authorization, it's been selling in other parts of the world, and in India also, Ministry of Health allows it to be used. In fact, it is the only drug, only antiviral, that is permitted to be used for coronavirus, for COVID-19. As a result of which, everybody thinks that if I get it, I will get better. The fact is that this is a complicated drug. This is a complicated drug. Also not a solution to all your problems, because new data has come in from WHO, and Just as we were speaking, it began to rain quite a bit, so we will go under shade a little bit and then continue. So just bear with me for half a second. So WHO has come out with this recommendation showing in its solidarity trial that this drug doesn't work that much. But the American trials and some smaller trials elsewhere tells you that it may reduce, or it does reduce, the hospitalization period, which is in any case good. So it's not as if I'm not saying the drug is useless. But drug is not a Rambaan dawa, as they say. It is not a silver bullet or magic bullet. It is not the definitive answer to COVID. The best answer to COVID is to use masks and make sure you don't get it. And God forbid, if one does get it, then there is a protocol that is best left for doctors to follow. Now, if you look at this clamor, as I said, for remdesivir, IQVIA, which is translated generally into English as Institute for Human Data Sciences, it's an international organization which plots this data. That tells us, and this is a story that Himani Chandna, my young colleague who covers pharma and health for us, she reported that even in the 6 months following July, when this drug first came in, Indians had bought 593 crores worth of remdesivir, because this was the only approved drug. Now it's being consumed a hell of a lot more, so much so that Government of India now, under pressure, has asked companies manufacturing remdesivir in India to double their production to 78 lakh vials every month from half as much right now. Also, they've reduced the price from 5,400 rupees per vial to 3,400. That is the MRP. There is also a brand, Imani tells me, called Remedac, produced by Gilead, which is available for 8.99. But this is not a drug that you go to neighborhood chemist and buy, because one, it has to be injected in hospital circumstances. This is not a drug for self-medication. We are a country of self-medicators. In fact, Dr. Naresh Trehan, the eminent cardiac surgeon, has always said, by way of chiding people who start talking, giving him lectures about medicine and what to do for this sickness or that, he says that every Indian, if you scratch him a little bit, you find a doctor, because all of us think we are doctors. We are not doctors. In any case, this is not a drug we self-medicate ourselves with. And there are stories now, again, that Himani tells me and I hear all the time, that people are now calculating, 7 members of my family, okay, so I need this many vials of remdesivir, suppose all of us fall sick, so let me buy that much and keep it in storage. So hoarding is going on. This is not only nonsensical, this is criminal, and this is dangerous. But that is now a problem. This is to be done very carefully. It's not even an injection that, I'm sorry to say this, but many people from vets learn to give injections to dogs and cats. This is not an injection which you can give like a half-trained vet. It's an injection to be given intravenously, 200 ml on the first day, and then a tapering dose, I think about half as much on the remaining 5 days, with very careful monitoring. This is not a drug to play with. This is also not a drug that you put pressure on your doctor to prescribe or a doctor to administer. In fact, there's an article by Himani that we'll be carrying on Saturday morning. Our newsmaker of the week is Remdesivir. That tells you the doctors now feel pressured by families, by relatives, to say, sahab, jo bhi karo, isko chhod do, humare ko aap Remdesivir laga do. So doctors then think, okay, not that much is lost. The patient is in hospital. If it makes the patient feel better and the families feel better, but that is not the way to do it. Once again, India is the king of over-medicators. We Indians are the princes and princesses of over-medication. We can buy almost anything over the counter in India, because if your neighborhood chemist said no, that will be seen like a breach of trust. Are tum dost kaise ho? How can you say no to me? Hey, tu, my neighborhood chemist. So people can buy anything and start taking it, and we are doing a lot of damage to ourselves, costing ourselves money, and also causing artificial shortage of a drug that might be needed by some specific people at a very specific stage in the development of coronavirus disease. I will not tell you what doctors tell us at which stage, because people will then start demanding it at that stage, or maybe finding a way of taking it at home. But it's only very experienced doctors who know that at which stage in this, say, first 2 week cycle is this likely to be most useful. I'm not saying most effective, it's not a cure, but most useful. Only they can do it. There also doctors have to have experience. So please leave it like that. Don't rush into self-remedies. Don't rush into anything that looks like a magic treatment. There is no magic treatment. In fact, I'll share with you a tweet that's written by our favorite doctor in Washington at University of Maryland Medical School, Dr. Fahim Yunus, who has shared this WHO story, which has been published in British Medical Journal, with us, with this tweet. And he said, look, forget all these things that work for COVID are oxygen, dexamethasone, that is the good old-fashioned steroid, which costs almost nothing, but don't take it yourself. It's a steroid. It's an immune system suppressant. For heaven's sake, don't take it yourself. And anticoagulants. Now, you hear the story about coagulation. This is now a buzzword now because of this Johnson & Johnson vaccine, and some cases also with AstraZeneca vaccine called Covishield in India, which most of us are taking, which I have also taken, both the doses. Now, some cases have come up of coagulation. So I saw this other bit of data, and I'm sharing this with you, that tells you that with Johnson & Johnson vaccine, the chances of getting a clot or an abnormal clot or coagulation is 0.001%. The chances of getting a clot if somebody is on oral birth control pills is 0.001% compared to 0.5%, and if somebody gets coronavirus, COVID, then the chances are 16%, because it is one of the main instruments that coronavirus uses to turn your body's immune system against you and cause these clots, which then damage our organs, lungs included. So a lot of the coronavirus treatment actually uses very simple anticoagulants, blood thinners. But once again, I beg you with folded hands, don't do it yourself. There are consequences to taking blood thinners unless your doctor has advised you, and unless you are supervised, please don't do it. But these are simple, sasta, sundar, tikau, sorted out, checked out treatments, and that is what has brought down the mortality rate from COVID so much. It is not any magic treatment. So those are the things that need to be done. In fact, this also puts in perspective the scaremongering about this Covishield and Johnson & Johnson vaccine, that 0.001% is 1 in a million. 10 lakh mein ek. Whereas 0.5% is 1 in 200. That is for normal birth control pills. And 16% is 16 in 100, which means every 7th person, if not every 6th person, is likely to have some clots here and there. Now, all clots are not dangerous, but it's also well known now that anticoagulants are a standard part of COVID treatment. So these are things that we need to understand, and we need to also understand that self-medication is a very dangerous thing. I've said it 5 times already, that it's one of India's biggest diseases for which there is no treatment. No doctor can give you a pill to cure you of self-medication. We are a nation of hypochondriacs. We are a nation where everybody thinks he or she is a homeopath or an Ayurvedist, or we think that all these things can't cause you any harm. So there's one more story. It was one of our most read stories last year, and I'm happy that it was again by Himani, on how doctors were finding over the year of the pandemic too much the after effects and side effects of too much turmeric, too much methi, too much vitamin D, too much zinc, because people hear these buzzwords, and this travels on WhatsApp. So in fact, I saw Dr. Trehan and a couple of other doctors speak on a TV discussion saying that we are now finding toxicity from too much zinc. It's not as if we should be popping up zinc tablets all the time. There was a time when zinc had gone out of stocks at our chemist shop. And our pharma companies last year have made enormous amounts of money producing what is called as nutraceuticals. or the so-called immunity boosters. And now madness has gone to such an extent that if you watch IPL, you will see a fan that kills viruses, you can see a paint that kills viruses, you can see pillows that protect you from viruses, you can see a water filter that kills viruses. So I don't know how do viruses survive, except nobody told the viruses all these things kill them. So don't get into self-medication and read that story. She will tell you of cases doctors have spoken to her. There is a Dr. Kajal Luthra from Bombay, who's an endocrinologist, who said that I was surprised that one of my type 2 diabetes patients had vitamin D toxicity. Now, vitamin D is an oil-soluble vitamin. It's not a water-soluble vitamin, so if you have too much of it, it will not be washed down in our urine by our kidneys. It sits there. And beyond a limit, it can be toxic. So the limit for vitamin D in our blood, and you will see it on your blood report, the limit, upper limit is 150 nanograms per milliliter. So first of all, milliliter is very tiny, and nanogram, not even milligram, 150 nanograms. In this patient's case, she found it to be 348. And this patient had nausea, drowsiness, confusion, all kinds of problems. Fortunately, did not get into more serious trouble. Similarly, there's a doctor talking from Kerala, again a well-established doctor, Dr. Cyriac Abbey Phillips, who is a well-known hepatologist and liver transplant surgeon, who found that in one case, his patient had abnormal thinning of blood, and he was trying to figure out why this has happened, until he found out that the patient was having 2 glasses of methi juice, or basically methi soup, methi boiled in water every day. Too much of everything is bad. Methi or fenugreek is very good, but it's also a blood thinner, and it can have other consequences that we don't understand. And similarly, you have aloe vera. Everybody thinks it's a wonder herb. It's a wonder herb, but too much of everything is bad. So there were people who were drinking glasses and glasses of aloe vera because they thought this will boost their immunity, and in the process ended up damaging their liver. So in the same story, Himani quotes research by a consultancy company called Pronto Consult that tells you that last year, of every 100 rupees that an Indian spent on pharmaceuticals, 92 were spent on nutraceuticals. Please don't do all that madness. Live a healthy life, exercise, look after your immunity. The best way to look after immunity though is to exercise, eat well, have normal food, maybe have some vitamins, etc., all in moderation or in consultation with your doctor. Nothing else will be a shortcut to keeping COVID away, except the mask, hand washing, the old methods, and the vaccine whenever you become eligible for it. It's shocking that today Indians are lining up and they are willing to kill for more remdesivir, but they are not lining up in the same numbers for vaccination. So it's time for us also. We will blame the government, and maybe in the national interest right today, you will see a lot of blaming of the government. So if that makes you angry, please read that as well. But at the same time, we have a responsibility as well. And the first responsibility is to not be irresponsible with drugs.